Father Yahweh, we come before you on this, your high holy Sabbath day. We give honor and glory and praise to you. We thank you, Father, for another opportunity to come before you. We thank you for the blessings you bestowed upon each one of us, Father, for being here. We ask that your word would have free course in us and that it would bless each one of us abundantly, that we would gain the knowledge, Father, that you prepared for us and put it into practice in our lives. Help us, Father, to walk in truth and to do that which is right in your sight each and every opportunity. We thank you again, Father, for every moment that you've given us, because we realize that every moment is precious, Father. And it just takes just that short a period of time to be taken away. But we thank you, Father, for blessing each one of us and giving us this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth, that your spirit would be a part of us in our mind and our body, transforming our lives. We thank you again, Father, for calling us out of this sinful world into your marvelous life. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. This message is entitled Volunteers for Yahweh's Kingdom. Our first scripture is going to be Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 3. It says, your people offer themselves willingly in the day of your power, in holy array, out of the womb of the morning. You have the dew of your youth. Yahweh's people volunteer themselves. They offer themselves willingly. The term volunteer, the first definition is a person who voluntarily offers himself or herself for a service or undertaking. Second definition is a person who performs a service willingly and without pay. The third definition is militarily a person who enters the service voluntarily rather than through conscription or draft, especially for a special or temporary service, rather than as a member of the regular or permanent army. Now, when we volunteer ourselves as volunteers for Yahweh's kingdom, we're doing it willingly, out of love, because we care about what Yahweh cares and what's important to Yahweh. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 1 is our second scripture. And remember, we're talking volunteers for Yahweh's kingdom. In verse 1, it says, and Yahweh spoke to Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I will give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath to Yahweh. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard, and gather in the fruits of it. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to Yahweh. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. That which volunteers of itself, of your harvest, you shall not reap. That which grows of itself, the grapes of your undressed vine, you shall not gather. It shall be a year of solemn rest for the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be for food for you. What grows of itself is going to be food for you. And for for you, for your servant, and for your maid, and for the hired servant, and for your stranger, who sojourns with you, and for your cattle, and for the beasts that are in your land, to all the increase of it be for food. So you see, that which volunteers of itself during the sabbatical year is from Yahweh to each one of us. We're not planting a garden. We're not planting a field. We're not harvesting that which is planted. We're going to eat that which grows of itself, that which volunteers. And see, we, in turn, are volunteers ourselves to Yahweh for his kingdom. Think about it. Yahweh has called, many have called, but few have chosen. You know, this place, we should actually have enough people to fill Virginia Beach. When you think about it, you have over 7 billion people in the world, but you only have a handful here. I mean, we're meeting all over the world. We have other congregations that are meeting. This is not the only congregation. But the thing is, what you have to understand, that everyone that is serving Yahweh, that is keeping the feast, is here as a volunteer for Yahweh. They've chosen to be here. There are many other places we could be, but we choose to serve Yahweh. Luke chapter 9. We'll start in verse 1. Luke 9, verse 1. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. This is prior to receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yahweh gave them power over the demons and the ability to cure diseases. What do you think is going to happen when we start healing people in large numbers? People are going to hear about it. They're going to come from everywhere to receive that healing. They sought out Peter. They sought out Paul. They were healed by the handkerchiefs that were attached to their clothing. The shadow of Paul walked by, or Peter, and people were healed because they were in the shadow of these apostles. You understand the power that Yahweh gave to his people. That power still belongs to us, brother. But see, we have to believe. We have to exercise that power in our lives. Verse 2, and he set them forth to preach the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's what we're teaching in these last days, brother, the kingdom of Yahweh. See, people out here preaching all different kinds of things, but Yahshua came with the kingdom of Yahweh. That's what he taught. His teaching did not waver. It didn't change. He told them the kingdom of Yahweh was in the midst of them. Speaking of the Pharisees and the leaders, they were looking for a physical kingdom. They were looking for the Savior to come and take them out of the captivity of the Romans and restore Israel. But he sent them forth to preach the kingdom of Yahweh and to heal the sick. And that's what we have to do, brethren. We have to heal the sick. Verse 3, and he says to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staff, nor wallet, nor bread, nor money, neither have 2 coats. And into whatever house you enter, there remain and there depart. And as many as receive you not, when you depart from that city, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And that's for those who won't receive the message. Those who won't receive Yahweh's ministry. And they departed and went throughout the villages preaching the good tidings and healing everywhere. And this is our purpose now, to take that kingdom of Yahweh to the world. We have to teach the people that Yahweh is coming soon. Yahshua is returning soon. The king is soon returning. The Eliyahu message is what we're teaching and preaching to the world. But we have to teach this kingdom message until Yahshua returns. Now, Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done, and he was much perplexed because that it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead. He had beheaded John. And by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. And Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? And he sought to see him. This is the king, Herod. He wanted to see the Savior. See? He wanted to see Yahshua the Messiah. Verse 10, and the apostles, when they were returned, declared to him what things they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to the city of Bethsaida. But the multitudes, perceiving it, followed him. And he welcomed them and spoke to them the kingdom of Yahweh. And them that had need of healing, he cured. See, so Yahshua did exactly what he told them to do when he sent them out into the world. And we have to fulfill that, brethren, the kingdom of Yahweh, healing the sick and curing those of disease. Judges chapter 5, volunteers for Yahweh's kingdom. We'll start in verse 1 of Judges 5. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, saying, for the leaders took the lead in Israel, for that the people offered themselves willingly as a volunteer, for fiat in the Hebrew. Bless Yahweh. Hear, O you kings, give ear, O you princes. Even I will sing to Yahweh. I will sing praise to Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. This is part of our purpose, brother. We're supposed to be singing to Yahweh. We're supposed to be rejoicing before him, singing his praise. He inhabits the praises of Israel. Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. We are the Israel of Yahweh. Yahweh, in verse 4, when you went forth out of Seir, when you marched out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, the heavens also dropped. The mountains quaked at the presence of Yahweh, even Sinai at the presence of Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. Why do we keep the feast, brethren? Why are we here? As volunteers for the kingdom, we're here to be in the presence of Yahweh, to experience Yahweh, to gain the knowledge of Yahweh, to exist in his glory. Remember, the Shekinah glory of Yahweh is present with Yahweh. And when he's here and his spirit is here, that power and that glory is among his people. Verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Yael, the highways were unoccupied. And the travelers walked through the byways. The rulers ceased in Israel. They ceased until I, Deborah, arose. I arose, the mother in Israel. They chose new Elohim. Then was war in the gate. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless you, Yahweh. Tell of it, you that ride on white asses, you that sit on rich carpets, and you that walk by the way. From the far, I mean far from the noise of archers in the place of drawing orders, there is sight the righteous acts of Yahweh, even the righteous acts of his rule in Israel. Then the people of Yahweh went down to the gates. We know that the gates are where the judges meet with the people. They judge the people in the gates. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29, and we'll start in verse 1. And David, the king, said to all the assembly, Solomon, my son, whom alone Elohim has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for Yahweh, Elohim. And when you think of our rulership, who truly leads your life? Who rules your life, brother? Are we governed by the word Yahweh? Or are we governed by man? Are we governed by our own heart? When each man does that which is right in his own sight, he's gone in his own direction. He's serving himself and Satan the devil. Because there's only really two ways to go. You're either serving Yahweh or you're serving the devil. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think there's something in between, that gray area, which we'll deal with tomorrow. Because there's no gray area. It's black or white. You either serve Yahweh or you're not. Truly. Now, David did a lot in his ministry as a king of Israel. In verse 2 it says, Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my Elohim the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, stones for inlaid work in diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my Elohim, seeing that I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver, I give it to the house of my Elohim. David dedicated all of his wealth to the building of the temple. Over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, which with which to overlay the walls of the houses. Of gold for the things of gold, of silver for the things of silver, for all manner of work to be made by the hand of the skilled workers, who then offer willingly to consecrate himself this day to Yahweh. So David asked that question, who then offers willingly to consecrate himself this day to Yahweh? David had prepared. He made all of his riches, the gold, the silver, all of that for the tabernacle. Now, I know a lot of you have brought stuff for the auction to dedicate to Yahweh for our mission overseas to Africa and things like that. And that's wonderful. See, but our hearts have to be dedicated. We have to be volunteers for Yahweh's kingdom right here in our hearts. Because Yahweh wants a people who are willing to serve him, that have that love of Messiah first in their heart. Because that's the only way this gets done. See? It only takes a few. Yahweh is the one that gives us the increase. He's the one that gives us the power to make it come to pass. It's not we. We're not doing this on our own. Think about it. The majority of us, we're kind of poor on that end of it. But we're rich in faith. We have what Yahweh has given us to build this work and to get it accomplished. And through us, the whole world is going to hear about it. Yahweh. See, because before it's all over, the whole world will be calling on Yahweh's name. Good or bad. Some for evil. But some are going to be calling on his name for good. And that's our purpose. See, as volunteers for Yahweh's kingdom, we're going to get the word out so that people know who our mighty one is. As Eliyahu did. Either you worship Yahweh or you worship in the Baal, which represents Satan. Verse 6 in 1 Chronicles 29. Then the princes of the fathers' houses and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of the thousands and of the hundreds with the rule of those the king's work offered willingly. They came forth and offered willingly, and they gave for the service of the house of Elohim of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics, and of the silver 10,000 talents, and of bronze 18,000 talents, and of iron 100,000 talents. And they, with whom precious stones were found, gave them to the treasurer of the house of Yahweh under the hand of Yehiel, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they that offered willingly as volunteers, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to Yahweh. See, they had a perfect heart. They came for the right reason. They came for the right purpose. And because they had the perfect heart, they offered willingly to Yahweh, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And this is another reason that you dance before Yahweh, because you have great joy in your heart. You truly love what you're doing. Now, I said earlier that he's given each one of us a purpose, and we have to find what that is. And once we know what it is, we can take it to that level that makes us great in Yahweh's kingdom. Whether it's teaching the young people, because they look up to you. You'd be surprised at what they see in their elders, male and female. You know, I've heard some compliments given from some of the young ladies about, you know, some of the elders here, some of the ladies. You know, it's nice that you are able to give a praise or glory to someone else, honestly. See, it wasn't something that was fabricated or, like we used to hear when we, our former affiliation, we heard a lot of puff jobs. You know, they were building up somebody's ego. See? And from the hearts and the mouths of babes come truth. See, they see it. They can see when the king is walking around with no clothes on. See? You know, you can't fool the children. A lot of people, you know, as we get older, you know, people are trying to fool us and to pull the wool over our eyes and telling us, you know, that. And the Jews do that when they're teaching their people, like they don't use Isaiah 53, and they say that represents the nation of Israel. It's not a part of the Parsha. You know, they see Yod-Heh, Waf-Heh, the Tetragrammaton, and then they tell the people, oh, that's Aleph Daleth. The people know it's not Aleph Daleth, but they go along with it because this is what the rabbis are telling them. And see, when you start to deceive people and confuse them with the lies, you know, the scriptures are pretty often and plain about that. Jeremiah says, our fathers have inherited nothing but lies. They know. And our children know what the truth is. They know what time it is. It's truly late in life, brother. And it's time for us to step up, do that which is right in Yahweh's eyes. And let the people know, our neighbors, and anybody that asks concerning that hope that is within us, we're volunteers for Yahweh's kingdom. We're here for Yahweh's kingdom. We're Yahweh's people. In verse 10, therefore David blessed Yahweh before all of the assembly. And David said, blessed be you, O Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory. When you hear the horn, what do you say, children?
Victory!
Victory! Yeah, see? And the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Yahweh, and you are exalted and head above all. That's above everything. See, you can't put anything before Yahweh or it becomes an idol. I don't care what it is, if it's your money, if it's your house, if it's your car, if it's your significant other. You can't have anybody before Yahweh. A lot of people don't want to hear that. Yahweh has to be first. Because if he's first, everything else will be added to you. But if he's not, everything else will come crashing down and fall around you because you've made it an idol before Yahweh. See, this is what David said. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Yahweh, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of you. They don't come from anybody but you. And you rule over all. And in your hand is the power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. See, Yahweh is there, and he can do it for each and every one of us. Think about it. Now, therefore, Elohim, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and what are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? This is what David is asking. Who are we? Who am I? And who is this people? For all things come of you, and of your own have we given you. Didn't Rashad bring that out in the sermon? We're just returning to Yahweh what he gives. For we are strangers before you, and sojourners, and all our fathers were, as all of our fathers were. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. We're temporary visitors here. And there is no remaining. O Yahweh Elohim, all the store that we have prepared to build you a house is for your holy name. Comes of your hand and is all your own. For I know also, my Elohim, that you try the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. And he does. He wants the righteous people to come and stand before him. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy your people that are present here offer willingly to you. O Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, of Isaac, of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thought of the heart of your people and prepare their heart to you. So David asked that this imagination would be in all of the hearts of the people of Yahweh. Always, he said, keep it forever in the imagination of the thought of the heart of your people and prepare their heart to you. So each one of us that has decided to offer ourselves willingly as volunteers for Yahweh's kingdom has done this voluntarily, willingly, because of that spirit that Yahweh has placed in our heart. Verse 19, and give Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. Now, Yahweh didn't allow David the builder, because he said he was a man of war. He was a man of blood. But his son Solomon was a man of peace, and he was able to build that temple. Now we are building a temple in these last days, because each one of us that have the Holy Spirit within our hearts are a building block in this new temple to Yahweh that Yahshua is looking for when he returns. He's looking for the temple of Yahweh renewed. Turn over to, I forgot one scripture. Before you turn to the next one, we want to look at verse 23. Verse 23 of 1 Chronicles 29. It says, "Then Solomon sat on the throne of Yahweh as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him." So we see that the throne of Israel was not the throne of King David or the throne of Solomon. It was the throne of Yahweh. That was Yahweh's throne in Israel. Remember, they wanted a king like the people around them so that they could be like the people. They wanted a physical head. But Yahweh was always king over Israel. He didn't relinquish it because he allowed a man to take that position. Because you see here, it was the throne of Yahweh. Not the throne of David or the throne of Solomon. It was the throne of Yahweh. Now, Nehemiah chapter 11. Nehemiah chapter 11. We'll start in verse 1. "And the princes of the people dwelt in Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of ten to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city." So everybody just couldn't live in Jerusalem. They had to cast lots to see who could live there. And only one, 10%, the tithe, only one of ten was able to go and live in Jerusalem when they were rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the city, when they came out of captivity. Verse 2, and it says, "And the nine parts in the other city." So the other nine tents went and inhabited the other cities of Israel. But only one in ten occupied Jerusalem. Verse 2, "And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell in Jerusalem." They willingly offered themselves to dwell in Jerusalem, that holy city. Now, as volunteers for Yahweh's kingdom, you have to understand that we are to be holy as Yahweh is holy. Holiness transforms this brethren. It makes us a different person than we were before. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, Deuteronomy 7, and verse 1, it says, "When Yahweh Elohim shall bring you into the land which you are entering to possess it, and shall cast out many nations before you, the Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Havite, and the Jebusite, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when Yahweh your Elohim shall deliver them up before you, and you shall defeat them, and you shall utterly destroy them, you shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter you shall not give to his son, nor his daughter shall you take to your son. For he will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve of Elohim. So will the anger of Yahweh be kindled against you, and he will destroy you quickly. But you shall deal with them in this manner. You shall break down their worship, their altars, and dash in pieces their pillars. and hewn down, cut down the Asherim, and burned their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to Yahweh your Elohim, and Yahweh your Elohim has chosen you. He chose you to be a people for his own possession above all nations that are on the face of the earth. So when you look at the people of Yahweh, you know that they're different than all of the other people of the world. They're different. That's because we have a different constitution. See, we have the word of Yahweh to guide us. We're not listening to those of the world who do whatever they feel they would like to do. We serve a living El, a mighty one that can save. The mighty ones of the nations are just idle. They can't do anything for you. Verse 7, Yahweh did not set his love upon you or choose you because you were more in number than any people. But you were the fewest of all people, but because Yahweh loved you and because he desired to keep the oath, the covenant, which he swore to your fathers, has Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and with a redeemed and redeemed you out of the house of bondage and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, or Satan, the devil. Therefore, know that Yahweh, your Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful El. He's faithful. We can depend on Yahweh. And that's something you don't have to question ever. You can depend on Yahweh. You might not be able to depend on anybody else, man, but you can depend on Yahweh, who keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations and repays them aided to their faith. To destroy them, he will not be slack to him that hates them. He will repay him to his faith. You shall therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances which I command you this day to do them. And that's because they're perfect. The law of Yahweh is perfect. We know that from Psalm 19. Read that when you get a chance. Just go over it. It's perfect. Restoring the soul. See, the word of Yahweh, it goes down sweet. It is sweet to us that keep the command. It's like honey. Malachi chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 10. Malachi 2, verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Has not one El created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother, profaning the covenant of our Father? That's the question that Yahweh is asking today. Why profaning the covenant? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. But Judah has profaned the holiness of Yahweh. Holiness transforms us, brethren. It brings us closer to Yahweh. It doesn't take us away from Yahweh. But Judah has profaned the holiness of Yahweh, which he loved, and has married the daughter of a foreign man. Yahweh will cut off to the man that does this, him that waits, and him that answers out of the gates of Jacob, and him that offers an offering unto Yahweh of hosts. And this again you do. You cover the altar of Yahweh with tears, with weeping, and with sighing, to the extent that he regards not the offering anymore, neither receives it with goodwill at your hand, because it's phony. Those tears aren't real. They're crocodile tears. You aren't sincere. See, people come to Yahweh on the Day of Atonement, and they're asking for forgiveness. Yet the day before, they were doing their dirt. See? Now, he says, how often shall I forgive my brother? When Peter asked that question, Yahshua told him 70 times 7, if he truly repents. And he comes before you and asks for forgiveness, you're supposed to forgive him. But see, Yahweh knows that these weren't serious. He says, to the extent that he regards not the offering anymore, neither receives it with goodwill at your hand. Yet you say, why? Because Yahweh has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. Though she is your companion, the wife of your covenant. And did he not make one, although he had the residue of the Spirit? And why one? He sought a righteous seed. Yahweh was looking for a perfect, righteous individual to come before him. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, brother, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For I hate the putting away, says Yahweh. The Elohim of Israel, him that covers his garment with violence, says Yahweh of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. And they were putting away their wives like nobody's business. All they had to do was get a get. Oh, she burnt the toast. I want another one. You understand? It wasn't right. Yahweh did not sanction that. See, a wife is a blessing from Yahweh. And we have to understand that and take that to heart. Verse 17. Yet you have wearied Yahweh with your word. Yet you say, what? Have we wearied him? And that you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of Yahweh. And see, there are people out here that's flipping the script. They want you to believe that it's evil to serve Yahweh. And it's not. See? They got it backwards. The evilist is out there serving the Baalim. Everyone that does evil is good in the sight of Yahweh, and he delights in them. But where is the Elohim of justice? Truly, Yahweh is an Elohim of justice. He knows right from wrong, just like we all do. We were raised right. We know good from evil. Not one of us, even the children in here, can tell you what's good versus what's evil. Not one of them does not know the difference. So how can we, as baptized members, come before Yahweh and say we didn't know? We know. And those who are volunteers for Yahweh volunteer to do his will, to keep his covenant every day of our life. It doesn't mean we won't fall. It says the righteous man falls 7 times and rises yet again. But see, it's not the falling down, it's the getting back up. They can't. And there are people out there that are falling. And we're trying to help them get back up. And that's why we're not condemning them. We pray to Yahweh. We want some of those that have left to return to Yahweh completely. Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, a living sacrifice is different than a burnt offering because that sacrifice was killed. A living sacrifice goes on to live and to show Yahweh that they're doing what's right before him each and every day. They're offering themselves. Holy, acceptable to Yahweh. This is what the living sacrifice does. Which is your spiritual service. See, this is what Yahweh requires of us. and be not fashioned according to this world. And too many people are fashioned according to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, holiness transforms us, brethren. But we want to know, how has the word of Yahweh transformed your life? Are you a truly different person than you were last year? See, we have to draw ourselves closer to Yahweh. We have to become more like Yahshua the Messiah each and every day. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. 1 Peter chapter 1. Holiness transforms us, brother. And we are volunteers for Yahweh's kingdom. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, therefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought to you as a revelation of Yahshua the Messiah. See, we understand that Yahshua has been revealed to us as our Savior. He lived a life without sin. So he's not like anybody else. He's the only perfect person to ever live. Now, verse 14. As children of obedience. And what are we obedient to? We're obedient to the commandments of the Father. Just like the children are obedient to their parents, you listen to your parents, don't you, children? Yeah, I understand. Sometimes the word is heavy on them. It blows them away. Even some of the bigger ones. Look, she sleeps too. Now, but he says, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust in your ignorance. See, because before you didn't know Yahweh. You were ignorant of Yahweh. So therefore, you weren't being held accountable because you didn't know. How could you keep the law of Yahweh if you didn't know about the law of Yahweh? You understand? But Yahweh revealed it to you because of what was in your heart. You sought to know him. You wanted to be a volunteer for his kingdom. You gave your life to him. Therefore, he revealed himself to you. And when he revealed himself to you, guess what? You transformed. You became a different person. You started keeping the Sabbath. You started keeping the feast days. You started doing things that you hadn't not even known in the past, but you truly had no knowledge of. But when you came into that knowledge, you absorbed it. You accepted it because you knew it was truth. And see, that truth is now affecting your life today. You're walking different. You don't walk like you used to walk. You don't do the things you used to do in the past. Now, a lot of people, as I said earlier, think sin is drinking, gambling, playing cards and dancing. Drinking is not a sin. Dancing is not a sin. And playing cards is not a sin. See? The sin is the transgression of the law. It's violating the commandment. And that's what people have to come into the knowledge of. Oh, what are you talking about? You got to keep that law. Oh, the commandments. Oh, no, that's done away with. Didn't Creflo say even the Big Ten? You don't even have to keep the Big Ten anymore. Yeah, he said that. A lot of people said, wow, that man is, he's paved the way himself, you know. But the scriptures tell us in Matthew 5:17-20, not one yod or tittle shall fall from the law. It's still applicable today to each one of us because if we practice the commandments and we keep as volunteers for Yahweh's kingdom, his law, it directs us to the kingdom. And that's where we're going, brother. The kingdom of Yahweh. That's where we want to be. That's why we're here. See? Keeping the feast of tabernacles. This is the type of kingdom of Yahweh, and Yahweh wants his people to practice doing righteousness and being in this atmosphere. Brethren of like precious faith, showing love one to another. Now, in verse 15 it says, "But like as he who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all manner of living." Everything you do. See, people are watching. That's the other thing. Everything you do, they're watching. And that's why we have to be holy in all manner of living. We have to give them a proper example. Because it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And truly, Yahweh is holy. And if we're going to be his people, the volunteers for his kingdom, we have to walk in his footsteps, like Yahshua the Messiah. He didn't live a life without sin. And we have to do that ourselves. Verse 17, "And if you call on him as Father, who without respect of person judges according to each man's work," and Yahweh is going to judge, "pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that you were redeemed not with corruptible things, silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of the Messiah." And that's what we were bought with. See, the price that he paid for, we were purchased with the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. And that's why our redemption was so costly. It was so high. "Who was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of times for your sake, who through him are believers in Yahweh." And it's because of Yahshua we are believers in Yahweh. "That raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in Elohim." So Yahshua brought us to Yahweh, and that was his purpose. "Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, to the unfeigned, the unpretended love of the brethren. Love one another from the heart fervently." And that's what Yahweh wants us to do. Be for real when it comes to our love one for another. "Having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of Yahweh, which lives and endures." Now, the third part of this, the first part was transforming, how the word of Yahweh transforms your life. And the second part was holiness transforms it. But the third part is that you can't appreciate the highs in life without experiencing the lows. You have to have something to compare it to. You understand? Now, we were once in sin, and now we're here, we have got something good to compare it to. We know what's better. I'll pass on that. I was going to say something else. Let's go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Second Samuel 12, we'll start in verse 13. David was a man after Yahweh's own heart. But even David saw, he had fallen. He had sinned against Yahweh. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, "And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against Yahweh. And Nathan said to David, Yahweh also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of Yahweh to blaspheme. The child also that is born to you shall surely die. Now this is the child that he conceived with Bathsheba. And Nathan departed to his house. And Yahweh struck the child that Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, bore to David, and it was very sick. And David therefore supplicated Elohim for the child. He prayed and prayed for this child. David was at a low point in his life. He had sinned against Yahweh. He admitted that to Nathan. He had also killed the husband of Bathsheba. So the man was at a low point. He was truly at a low point in his life. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and stood beside him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he listened not to our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?" But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David perceived the child was dead. And David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Then David arose, washed, and anointed himself, and changed his apparel. And he came into the house of Yahweh and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he retired, they set bread before him, and he ate. See, he worshiped after the child died because he knew Yahweh's will was done in his life. He worshiped, which we have to do, whether we are in a state of mourning or a state of joy. We have to worship. We have to give Yahweh his due. And too often people don't. They forget that Yahweh is in control of everything. Verse 21, then his servant said to him, "What thing is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, you rose and ate bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who knows whether Yahweh will not be gracious to me and that the child may live." Now, see, that child did nothing to warrant death. You understand? But David had done something worthy of death. Yahweh could have took both David and Bathsheba's life and left the child alive. But he didn't. "But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again?" The answer is no. "I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." So David came to a realization that it still reflected back to Yahweh. Yahweh is the one in control, and we have to give him glory in our lowest point in our lives as well as at our highest point. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. "But now has Messiah been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in the Messiah shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, the Messiah, the first fruits, and then they that are the Messiah that is coming, the rest of the 144,000. That's going to be a time of rejoicing. when we rise to meet Yahshua in the air, we have overcome this life. The volunteers of Yahweh's kingdom. Then comes the end, and he shall deliver up the kingdom to Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and power. But he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death. And that's going to be a time of rejoicing. For he put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he has accepted who did subject all to him. And when all things have been subjected to him, then shall the Son himself also be subjected to him that did subject all things to him, that Yahweh may be all in all. And I'm telling you, brethren, as volunteers for the kingdom of Yahweh, each one of us must conform our life, transform our lives to Yahweh. We must have his holiness transform us into a new being, a different person. And we can only appreciate the highs in this life, not without experiencing the lows. Almighty Yahweh is one that is truly preparing a people and blessing us in these last days as volunteers for the kingdom. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you continue to serve him. I'll ask Brother Richard to come forth and close with a word of prayer.
If you could all rise, with our heads, we humble our hearts. Almighty Yahweh, as we come before you again, for your throne, we ask that you just watch over us and kindly guide us and lead us in the right direction. Allow the message that we just received to spiritually nourish us, Almighty Yahweh, and to provide us with the guidance that we need to continue to head in the right direction as your kingdom is coming, Almighty Yahweh. We ask that you bless those who are living right by your will and your way. And we know that there are many out there who are seeking your face, Almighty Yahweh, as we are such. And we are striving to do things, great things for you, Almighty Yahweh, to move forward and to progress. And we ask that you kindly touch the hearts of those who are looking for you but haven't found you yet, Almighty Yahweh. Just touch their hearts and allow them to realize that you are the one and true mighty El. And we ask once again to bless everyone that is on the prayer list and allow them to get back on their feet. And just watch over our parents, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents, and all that are living right by your will and your way. And we ask all these favors and blessings in your Saint Yahshua Messiah's name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, our last and final song will be song number 33, Holy Love. Once again, that is song number 33, Holy Love.
For me,
Turn your Psalms and selected scriptures to page 145. For the benediction, we're going to read 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. That is found on page 145 in your Psalms and selected scriptures. Once again, it is 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, "Whoever believes that Yahshua is Messiah is born of Yahweh. And whoever loves him that begot loves him also that is begotten of him. This is how we know that we love the children of Yahweh, when we love Yahweh and do his commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Hallelujah. Your Wi-Fi. It went down.
You can have it.
Or it could have
brought
sound.
Hello, anybody there? Can you hear me? Lost our internet. Can you hear me, Zelda?
Thank you.
All right, we're having technical problems on the internet, so Yahweh bless you.
Trust me, I know everybody had a hard time this year. Let it close the door back so you're not ready to go out yet.
They really did good. You can't get a good one. That's what they do. They did much better than the elders. They did much better than the land.
They did much better. They really did well. They all did. They all did.
I don't know what happened to Betsy.
She's here?
She's supposed to be. I think she's staying with somebody in Norfolk. No, I have to.
Amanda, to get this stuff together,
people, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. I have some of those
that I'm about to
chip up and took some ice cream and
I'll
come back.
I
have some bread and want some cookies.
We don't have any most of them have it's kind of different stuff. They were on again from Trinidad this afternoon, too.
Oh, yeah?
Had I known that, I'd have punched it. Said it first.
You didn't know?
No, I didn't know they were on until I started closing it. The internet went out. That's the only problem. Can't keep doing it.
Well,
Got it. Oh, that's John.
specifically raised that that was just connected to Christmas. Oh. They didn't have them there. And I brought those down here. They were present and future. This is a dollar or something. And they want $2 and stuff here. That's it.
Oh, these are a dollar or something?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
I'm going to stop up before we leave.
You actually, you know, last time I left, my sister said, hey, what is this? It's been time. And I said,
should have called Bill to the computer. Well, it was on. The morning and afternoon.
It was good. Oh,
okay. 17?
It's 16, I think.
Mm-hmm. Had a glass on the older side. He almost was as tall as Pharrell. He used to be taller than Pharrell. That's not mine. The bottom. And he said he wanted to come. So my wife said, he didn't want to come to school. He probably won't come in. He wants to get out of school and hang out with Pharrell. Come on. He wanted them to bring Ayan. Everybody said no. They want to take care of their kids, right back.
You know, it's a thing about this.
Yeah.
You know, Greg, I think about it, it was just a youngster when I first met you.
Now it's become an oldster.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I feel the same thing my father. I remember when I first met him. He was a youngster, real youngster.
Oh, this is the truth. This is the, oh, I'm going to go back and bring everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He told him, no, you won't.
I remember the father was down the phone. Oh, that
there. Yeah, he's fun.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Boy, that was pretty bad.
When that first met them, they weren't speaking to that. It was a long time before, I'm trying to think, yeah, Jada was speaking. I had made blankets for her and everything. She didn't even know, too many years ago, she was telling me that she still had the blanket for the chairs that she was going to give them to them when they had chairs. But even for her twin, I had made blankets for them.
Made a blanket for I feel baby.
Talking about the one that's coming out, I don't know.
I don't really
know.
I really didn't know it until it was. And so you need to buy me some of those boxes. Business size, and all you do is tape them up and tape off. When the mailman comes, give them to them and they can deliver them.
I've made blankets for so many babies, they didn't even know where the blankets came from. Yeah. After the New Year, she's going to tell me, I'm not doing that anymore.
This one
here, baby. Tell me one time, look, we don't have enough room in the car. You got all these blankets. But every baby from I think a couple of boys we had before.
Yeah. But still made enough stuff sweaters because I don't know, you made Isaiah's sweater. He was so pretty.
You know, I thought they had
that out. That's what it's back. They don't last long enough to get there.
Thank you. I buy, they have to do. They put me in one of the bags. Somebody started jumping on the front and
they just don't. Well, my wife should have stepped on mine and took it out and put it in the trash can.
They
don't stand up like
they don't. I mean, it's like you don't have anything in hand. All the money is going on. I'm just going to tell you that I'm going to pull it out. Pay attention to the board.
Nobody answers the Lord.